Welcome to the first episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line, the show where you can watch your favorite science fiction, TV show, or movie and call in to talk about it. Thanks for joining in. This first show covers Battlestar Galactica's season premiere episode entitled Sometimes a Great Notion, which aired on the Sci-Fi Channel Friday, January 16, 2009. I have two special guests. The first to join is T. Morris. How cool is that? T. Morris on the first episode. He is the author of Moravi and Billabub Batting's Case of the Singing Sword. It's books and a podcast. Second guest is Phineas Henshaw, who builds robots for a living. He's ex-military and also plays in the jazz band. It's kind of like Commander Riker. Now, the podcast kind of got off to a rough start, and when I say rough start, I mean that we kind of hit the ground running with the talking, and we didn't introduce ourselves. We just started venting right off. We get around to it. There are a lot of curse words. There are major spoilers. So I just wanted to throw that in so you can be warned, and now you can join the podcast in progress.
Then watch that.
I mean, I'm sorry. The whole thing with Deej blowing her brains out. Come on.
Because did you watch the webisodes?
Oh, I haven't watched the webisodes.
Oh, well then, you're not even as depressed as you can get. Let me tell you that right now.
See, I've got them downloaded. I got them downloaded on my Apple TV. I haven't watched them yet.
Well, then you would have actually killed yourself tonight.
Huh, I believe
if
it.
You've seen that, because I watched that this morning, and I was so confused. It was awful. It was awful. No. It is no excuse. Like, what are they doing in Vancouver? Why are they so depressed? What is going on with him? What is going on in this guy's life that he has to write shit that's just so damn dark?
I mean, it's one thing to be dark. It's one thing, and I respect the dark, and I think Ron Moore does dark very well. But what was annoying me more, the fact that he was getting that depressing, or the fact, well, first off, the fact that they're already bugging out. It's like, you mean to tell me you're not going to do a little more digging, try to find out exactly what happened? I mean, one episode we find out that's what devastated Earth.
Dude.
Everybody was a Cylon on Earth, and it was another Cylon war. It's like, come on.
Right.
But here's the other thing. All right, if Ellen is the fifth Cylon, then that means they killed the fifth Cylon because they didn't have a resurrection ship for any of the final five.
Her being the fifth Cylon is all types of stupid. That's the dumbest thing ever, because I suspect that she was a Cylon when she first showed up on the ship because she was weird and she was supposed to be dead. But they threw that, and she's not a Cylon, and this, that, and the other. And she was giving blowjobs or whatever, trying to save Saul. And you remember that, right?
I remember that whole thing. Oh yeah. and then to say, she's the fifth Cylon, and then this whole thing with Starbuck.
Okay, wait a sec. Can I bring in somebody else?
Bring it in. Bring it in. Just make sure you let people know that I'm sick.
Oh,
yeah, I'm sick and hated.
You sound kind of hot. Nah.
Thank you.
Okay, let me
who knew
see.
Who knew the congestion was so hot?
Crikey.
Now, you are going to have to record somewhere at the beginning of this that this is a spoilerific kind of show.
Yeah, I will.
Interesting. This is interesting. I just read on Twitter, ThinkGeek said, consensus seems to be, holy frack, intense, what happens next? 50% said it jumped the shark.
Right then and there, it jumped the shark?
That's what ThinkGeek says their consensus is. That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hello. I have T. Morris on the line.
Hey, what's going on, T?
Hi. Well, let me just say this. Excuse me while I take sleeping pills with booze and drive along a mountain road while playing Russian roulette. That's how I sum up my feelings after this. After I'm watching House to make myself chuckle.
Oh, now that's pretty bad, because House. Introduce yourself, both of you.
I'm T. Morris. I'm the author of Podcasting for Dummies. I'm also the author behind Moravi and Billabub Battings.
Me, I'm your resident neighborhood mad scientist.
Robot Man.
With an emphasis on hood.
Oh, my goodness. And, well, this is like the unorganized, initiated version of Sci-Fi Party Line, and we're talking fresh off of the Battlestar Galactica premiere, and a lot of people are pissed off. We can't even introduce ourselves properly because we're pissed off. Now, T... sounding a little sexier than usual because he has a little sniffle.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Because nothing quite gets the ladies turned on like fresh mucus being broken up in your chest.
I don't think so. So, is it pronounced Phineas?
Yes.
Okay, wow, I did it. What did you think?
It was a lot better than I expected it to be. However, you could tell that the writers were definitely reading the forums on off of the sci-fi.com. I'm serious. You could tell who their favorite bloggers were because, I mean, there's this one in particular that just kind of nailed the whole thing. He identified Saul's wife as the fifth one. And the fact that, you know, the only thing that surprised me about the episode was when
she found.
No. That didn't surprise me at all. I mean, they had to get rid of her, man. She was cannon fodder, you know. I'm talking, the only thing that surprised me is when Starbuck found herself in the crash. That was cool. But everything else?
Well, I thought she was the fifth Cylon at that point. What about you, T?
Well, I tell you, I unfortunately don't really have time to surf forums and things like that, but if that's the case, if the writers of Battlestar Galactica are actually paying attention to the forums and writing their shows based on the forums, I got one word for them: heroes. Okay, it is not a good idea to write a series by proxy. The reason why you have writers speaking as a writer, if people want to say, I like this character, I like that character, that's great. But in the end, I get the final say.
You're from the George Lucas school of thought.
No. There's a difference. I can write dialogue. I can write dialogue.
You sure can.
And the other thing I don't do is I don't undermine my own universe. If I set up a rule and then I realize later on in my story that this one rule could really screw things up, you know what? I have to bite the bullet. I'm not Lucas who rewrites his own universe, in my opinion.
Well, but I think they
totally
did.
That's for another rant for another time. The thing that was the thing that really has pissed me off about this premiere is that I felt like with a lot of the decisions that were made, and blowing the wad as quickly as they did in this first episode, Ron Moore is quickly approaching a corner. And if he's not careful, he's going to write himself into it.
I think he already kind of has, but I'm glad they found the Earth in ruins, because what if they went to Earth and they found it like back in the 80s, like they did with the original episode? That would have been boring.
That probably would have been more interesting, actually.
Actually, with me, my opinion was is I would have liked for them to have spent at least another episode or two on. I would have really liked to have seen them spend an episode or two on this Earth and find out more about the Earth that was there, just to pack it up and say, okay, we're leaving.
If you think about it, the last few episodes have been rushed like that. I mean, they could have took the last maybe five episodes before the season break, and they could have stretched that a whole nother year, but they just crammed all of this stuff. Like, for example, you found these bones and you found this helmet of some series that nobody knows what the heck it is. Let's go with that, you know. Let's find out. Let's do some digging and find out the history behind that. No, they're gonna go to the planet. They're gonna say, oh man, all this stuff is nuclear. You're gonna have a couple of memory scenes. They find some bones. They go on the ship and find out that the bones are Cylons and that nobody knows what the heck they are in the 13th colony. I mean, they just crammed too much stuff into the first episode when they could have stretched it for about four episodes.
I think they killed off D. Sorry to change the subject, but I think they killed off D so that Gata could have his boyfriend on the show.
I'm sorry. What was that again? Excuse me?
I must have missed that. You didn't see the webisodes. I'm sorry. That was a spoiler.
Okay, more webisode stuff.
Yeah, well, you got to watch that. It's going to take you like 10 minutes to watch the whole thing.
Right.
They're free on iTunes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got them downloaded. But again,
oh, right. You said that.
But here's my... But see, the thing about the whole thing with D is at that point... We had had so much darkness up to that point. When D was finally happy again,
yeah.
You know, or at least had some hope, I really would have liked for Ron Moore to stick with that. Now, I know that Ron Moore likes to do this thing where, you know, I mean, David Icke, I think is how it's pronounced, in their 10 Things You Need to Know About Battlestar Galactica, they were talking about how they really loved the scene where they discovered Earth and everybody's happy, and then immediately they just dash their hopes. And you see them after they discover that Earth is a wasteland. And you know, while I understand that, you know, A lot of writers like to do that. You know, Joss Whedon likes to do that too with his characters.
Yeah,
it's one thing to make an unexpected death versus a pointless death. And to me, the whole thing with Dee offing herself, that was too much. No, I take it back. I'll tell you where it was too much. It was too much to watch Adama walk through the hallways of the Battlestar, and it was like a freaking Wild West brawl. You know, you got people whoring in one corner. You got people breaking out into fights in another corner.
You got people weeping in one corner.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a wreck.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that transformation for me was for them to go for one thing for them to be a military vessel and to be doing this for years on years on years. Yeah, there would probably be a breakdown of morale, but when the admiral shows up. You snap to attention, baby.
That is hey, true.
Well, see, I beg to differ on that to some degree, because you know when it's peacetime and you're at a base, and I know this because I'm a combat vet. So when you're at a base, okay, or somewhere like that, and a protocol can be maintained, that's one thing. When you're out in the field, rank only goes so far. But I do agree with one thing. I agree with the direction that they went as far as, hey, if they went traveled and they had hope and they get to this place and there's no hope, how it would kind of put people into a destitute state. But I do agree. I think he took it a little bit too far, just a little bit too far. I mean, you know, people who are militarily trained will only go so far into a funk, you know. I can see people probably sitting around drunk or something, but just for a total disregard of everything, I don't buy that. And then to go back from that state to him being on the bridge giving orders again and people following orders, I mean, heck, if you're going to take it to that level where nobody cares, then how are you going to start giving orders and people going to follow
but
your
that's
orders?
Next episode. That's next episode when Richard Hatch comes back.
Oh, yeah, when, that's going to be another mess.
But I mean, there's a point where, I don't know, I just felt like the episode was dark enough, and I felt the twist with Starbuck was a little contrived. That was a little contrived, and it's also
even
again,
after you think it was contrived, even after they did the whole comeback and she's brought back to life and whatever.
Well,
I think it was interesting to find her there. I liked that, but I thought she was the fifth Cylon.
But at that point, yes, exactly. I thought she was the fifth Cylon too. But now we're saying that Ellen is the fifth Cylon. So granted, this could be the shell game that Ron Moore and David Icke are playing. I don't know. But my another problem I had with this was the fact that it felt a little too contrived, especially when the Cylon that's been lusting after her and been so supportive of her, and the moment she needs him the most, he bails on her. I was like,
oh yes,
I thought that was
you.
Great.
No, I thought, fuck you and the horse you rode in on. You know what? Fuck you and the horse you rode in on. Because
Well, maybe there was some sort of story behind this person, and she's the harbinger of death. Maybe he's like superstitious or something. You know,
now, the way I interpret that is that she never said the base star essence never said she would be the harbinger of death and bring destruction to the human race. Nope. She said she would bring destruction to us all. And the way I interpreted that was she was going to bring death and destruction to the Cylon race. Because that's the way I'm spinning it.
I agree with that. Yeah, totally.
It just got a little too dark for my liking. It was kind of like watching, I'm trying to think of something that was so dark I just couldn't. It was just difficult for me to watch. I'm trying to think of
Torchwood. You can still watch Torchwood.
I can watch Torchwood because there's still an essence of fun in Torchwood. Mm-hmm. There's still essence of fun in
Dead Like Me isn't that bad.
Right. It made me cry every episode. Dead Like Me and Torchwood. I couldn't handle it anymore. And BSG is pissing me off.
This was I have seen better BSGs without it feeling, everything felt very forced and very rushed, and I'm like, you've got 10 episodes, take your time, you know. Yes. And
because this is ending and they're trying to
wrap
everything.
Yeah.
I totally agree with it. I didn't take the episode that bad because you knew it was gonna be dark, and you knew from the BS. If you've been watching the interviews on the BSG cast, they already gave you a clue that you were gonna be heartbroken anyway. So I expected it to totally be dark.
There's a difference between being heartbroken and being pissed off.
Pissed off is, but see. The how you take the how a person takes the show is different than how they really wanted to put it across. All they did, I look at this whole BSG thing as an experiment anyway. It's nothing but a sitcom, really. They just kind of took outer space and just kind of stuck it into like a drama, you know.
There's no laugh track.
Like Dallas.
Dallas. Okay.
They took Dallas and stuck it into outer space. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is what I see. And it was a good experiment, but like I said, it's coming to an end. They put too much stuff in the episode, and if they would have stretched it out, I think they could have kept the storyline and all this far-fetched stuff that they're coming up with at the end. They could have kept all of that. But I think that they just tried to smush it all into too much at one time. That's what I think.
I finally figured it out. For me, what was too dark is Angel. I had to stop watching Angel because the minute they bumped off one of the one of the demon characters. The demon character was like the sidekick, and
the green guy that sang.
No. The first season, there was a demon who had psychic
what's
abilities.
His face? The what we see?
The Irish
Scottish,
one. The Irish,
yo,
guy.
The Irish yeah. guy. Yeah, yeah.
And he was a lot of fun, and he lightened up the show, and they bumped him off.
But they brought sexy, hot, bald guy.
But not enough. But even Gunn to me, he got the show got so dark, and David Boreanaz got so angsty, I couldn't watch the show. I just could not watch the show. Same thing with Buffy. When they bumped off Buffy's mom, and the show took a really dark turn, I just said, I can't watch this show anymore. It's no longer fun.
Season 6, and I loved it.
But now with BSG, yes, there is an element of darkness to expect, but tonight I was pissed off. Especially when when Dee offed herself, I was pissed off.
Because she's so pretty.
Yeah, when Wash, who was also very pretty, I was heartbroken.
I was infuriated with that. I understood what
Whedon was doing, because Whedon was saying, okay, we're getting to the big climax here, and now that I've bumped off Wash, everyone is open game. Versus in Battlestar Galactica, Dee just offs herself completely out of the blue. For no reason in a non-combatant So now this is Ron Moore saying, well, so what is this? Is this Ron Moore and David Icke saying, okay, it's open season now on all the characters? I'm like, no, it's not. You know, no, it's not. This is a little different. And that was an extreme situation.
You're talking about the same people, but you're talking about the same writers that took the best four characters in the whole thing and turned them into Cylons at the last minute.
Yeah, and you know what? I bought that. I bought that because
I totally did not buy it worth a crap.
Because they were slowly building up to that. Versus this, where it just felt really, you know, we got to do something to show everybody we're Battlestar Galactica and we're dark and we're edgy. And
so you really think that they were flying by the seat of their pants on that? It felt like it.
It's almost like two people playing the dozens and people just start shooting bullets at each other just for shock, you know. And the one with the highest level of shock wins. I think they just thought they needed the shock and just stuck that in there. It was just useless.
When you compare this season opener to previous season openers, this is a weak season opener. And I mean, now granted, I'm the first one to say I'm calling this in the sidelines. It's Ron Moore's universe, and I may not like what he does, and he's making a lot more at this than I am. But to me, if it's true that he's paying attention to what the fans are saying, and he's deciding
he's deciding to
tinker with what he originally planned because the fans want to see it go in a different way. In my opinion, that's a bad idea because I think it's great to have fans feedback, but like when I did, to turn it on me, because since it's podcasting, it's all about me and podcasting.
We love you.
Yes. When I offed one of my characters in Moravia, I got some hate mail and I got people who were saying, oh, you shouldn't have killed that character. You shouldn't have killed that character. You know, what are they expecting? Are they expecting me to go, okay, well, you know what, I'll go back and I'll rewrite the story and
I don't remember
I'll make that
being
character
jarred
out.
By hey. That. Huh?
Well, a lot of people were. But think about this, though. Think about this. After you go, the best part of this whole series has been the middle part of season two. You know, the beginning, the middle part of season two. How can you top that? How can you pass up, you know, top the Pegasus coming back and everybody's ready to kill each other? You can't top that, man. They've been trying to top it for the last season and a half.
They took her and they killed it off. Well, they would have had ready built-in tension with the two ships, but they killed her off so fast and they made that crappy Razor movie. Why do I watch this?
Because it's interesting, and we don't have a life.
And I'm a masochist.
My feelings on it were that I actually thought season three's opener was strong as well. In fact, I ranked season three right up there with season two. I thought both their season openers were fantastic, and also when you go back to the. And I really felt that those worked, but this one just did not feel as well thought out.
Do you think it's because of the writer's strike?
You know, that's like blaming, to say, oh, it's the writer's strike. It's the same thing as saying, yeah, we can't afford to do XYZ we can't afford to do XYZ this year because of the economy. You know, it's a cop out. People are using the writer's strike as a cop out. It's like, you know what? Good writing is good writing. Just because you go on a strike doesn't mean you completely stop writing. No, you're still writing under the table. I mean, if science fiction writers called for a writer strike tomorrow across the board, you know, literary authors and all this stuff, I'd be like, okay, I'll go on a quote unquote writer strike. But I guarantee you, the minute that writer strike is over, hey, look, I got two novels I finished. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, as a writer, you never stop writing. You never stop writing. And that's why I'm just thinking, you know, they could have done, It just felt a little rushed, and I don't know whether it's because they're feeling the pressure of the final season, or because of how they ended the last season with that incredible ending where they were on Earth. I mean, that was truly heartbreaking. But
so are you gonna continue to watch?
I'm gonna give it two more episodes.
How about you, Phineas?
Yeah, I'll probably see it to the end, but I probably won't prioritize it like I did tonight and miss my music and miss playing saxophone at a bar, you know, to see it, you know. I'll never do that again. I'll wait for it to come up on the podcast from now on.
There you go. Well, I think we've talked about that enough, and I'm going to let you guys go, but thank you for participating in my first little podcast. It was very awesome. And if y'all guys want to plug anything, websites or anything, go ahead and do it now.
Well, you can always find out stuff that I do at tmorris.com, or you can check out my first professional business, corporate, whatever you want to call it, podcast, very professional podcast over at imaginethatstudios.com called In Your Right Mind. And that's that's tmorris.com and imaginethatstudios.com.
Okay,
and I'm going to scoot. Okay. Take it easy, everybody.
Thanks, T. All right, bye-bye.
Well,
how about Phineas?
Well, I don't have a website yet, but I do have a MySpace page. It's myspace.com/ Phineas Henshaw, and that's PHINEASHENSHAW. You'll find some music that I recorded on there from about 10 years ago, and if you're in the Roanoke area, you can come see me play. So how's that?
Awesome, awesome. Thank you for showing up. And I guess I will talk to you soon.
All right. Peace and love, my sister.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So not bad for a first run. The iPod Shuffle contest is still going on, and you still have a chance to win it. Just watch Lost and Skype in after the show to talk about it. If you're on the West Coast, send me an email or call to let me know you want to participate, and we'll wait on you. If you TiVo the show and don't watch till the next day, hey, just go ahead, send me a voicemail. Let me know your thoughts. I'll add it to the show, maybe even talk about it a little bit. And that voicemail is 206-203-2289. That's 206-203-2289. For now, email me at fancyfinbot@gmail.com. My Skype username is fancyfinbot, and so is my username on Twitter. And you know, if you manage to forget any of that, you can always get that information from scifipartyline.com. The podcast is now on iTunes. So thanks for listening, guys, and join me next week for Lost. So say we all.
All hands, prepare for jump.